This year, a new Australian curriculum is being rolled out, designed to give all school children across the country the same standard of education. But as the school year begins, tens of thousands of children won't be lining up for morning assembly. They'll be staying at home. These children aren't sick, they're opting out, joining a rapidly growing homeschooling movement, which is encouraged and substantially resourced by a much larger movement in the United States, where the provision of home-based school curricula is now a big business. In Australia, the majority of homeschooled children are not registered. They're outside the law, although authorities appear reluctant to pursue prosecutions. For today's background briefing, Ian Townsend reports from Queensland, where the homeschooling movement is booming.
No, I think they go to the moon. Let's listen carefully now. Okay. Many different kinds of fruits grow in faraway countries. Houses in faraway countries might be made slightly differently too. Listen carefully. We are thankful for missionaries who go to faraway countries to tell people about God. Now listen. In row one. Can you find row one?
In a backyard shed on Queensland's Sunshine Coast, Angie is teaching her son Ashton using an American-based Christian curriculum. Ashton isn't registered yet for homeschooling, he's only five, and hasn't reached the compulsory school age. But he's one of perhaps 85,000 children in Australia being homeschooled this year. Most of their parents are doing it illegally. Computers and the internet, as well as do-it-yourself homeschool kits and mail-order curricula, have made it much easier to opt out of traditional schools. Homeschooling advocate and researcher Terry Harding.
Governments seek to register children. Some governments want to monitor their workload.
Does that force many families underground?
In 2003, when the Queensland government researched homeschooling and decided they were going to create a whole regime of law surrounding that phenomenon, they found that 85% of homeschoolers in 2003 were operating underground, and that was because there were draconian laws in place. So that's a reality.
Today, the growth in homeschooling is an open secret. But despite more flexible laws, many homeschoolers prefer to stay out of sight. The Queensland Homeschooling Association's president is Bob Osmak.
Many homeschooling families kind of do it secretly, because they fear Education Queensland taking legal steps against them and so forth, sending police to their door and that kind of thing. And they have done that in the past. And to me, that's very reprehensible. These parents just want good education for their children. They want their children to be safe, which they're not in so many cases because bullying is so common these days. And yet they receive no support or even understanding from the education bureaucrats.
Bob Osmak was recently prosecuted for homeschooling his 13-year-old daughter without registering with Education Queensland. It's the first case of its kind in Australia.
I've been found guilty and I've had to pay a $500 fine. Well, I'm not happy about the $500 fine, but as I said, that will not stop me from speaking out about the need for serious reform in Queensland system of education.
The Queensland Department of Education and Training says people who don't enrol their children in school or register them with the Home Education Unit are breaking the law. And if it becomes aware of them, it will refer cases to the police. This means thousands of parents potentially face prosecution. We'll come back to Bob Osmak's case a little later. Homeschooling parents tend to be passionate advocates. Opinions are divided, though, amongst people who have been homeschooled. On Queensland's Sunshine Coast, 16-year-old Gabby has been homeschooled for the last 5 years.
Because a lot of people ask you, why would you homeschool? Like, why don't you come to school? It's so much more fun. You get friends and you get activities. And it's like, but I do all that at home. I don't need to go to school to get that. And the amount of disruptions that you have in a classroom is minimal at home. Like, you know, there's nothing. So it's really good.
It wasn't so good for Scott Stevens, now a parent himself.
You know, when you have a parent who's a disciplinarian, that works out in one way when it's a parent-child relationship. It works out another way when your parent might be getting frustrated that, you know, his son might not be quite so adept at understanding calculus. as he himself is. And so, I mean, for me, that led to a kind of unhealthy domestic dynamic where fairly severe forms of punishment followed.
You have children now?
I do.
Would you consider homeschooling for them?
Not for a moment.
Lots of people would and do more each year. It's a movement largely driven from the US, where exporting homeschooling curricula, online lessons and ideology is a growing business. On the line from Stanford University in California is sociologist Rob Riche.
The requirements to set up a homeschool are minimal and in many places non-existent. You simply announce that you're going to homeschool and that's literally the last anyone hears from you. The other main reason is technology. You know, before the internet, it was hard for parents to figure out how to devise their own curriculum or various curricular packages. And now you can just search for them online, stream them into your home, and, you know, purchase highly tailored, customized curricula for your child that conform with your own values and aspirations. So the computing age has made it much easier to school at home.
In America, homeschooling is a big, almost mainstream movement, and it's gaining some political momentum. Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul has put it up front in his run for the White House this year.
One of the key group of people that have worked for me for so long over these many years have been the homeschoolers. They seem to understand the Constitution. I wonder why that is. Homeschoolers seem to understand the Constitution compared to those who have gone to public schools. And it's reassuring to know that we still have this freedom and this responsibility to our children, but, you know, we can't even take that for granted. Because in the 1980s in Texas, homeschooling was severely challenged, and I believe the challenge will return if we are not careful.
Homeschooling used to be illegal in most U.S. states, but in recent years, political pressure, largely from Christian conservatives, has made it a lot easier to do. This movement in the US is now actively supporting homeschoolers around the world. It helped a family accused of illegally homeschooling their children in Germany apply for political asylum in the US. In Australia, as in other countries, it's becoming a big challenge for governments struggling with an exodus, for all sorts of reasons, from public schools. A Queensland-based organisation called Christian Education Ministries sells homeschooling programs. One of its managers, Terry Harding, has just finished a PhD on homeschoolers.
I've classed them into three basic classes. One is a structured approach where homeschooled and distance educated kids do standard mathematics and science and English and phonics, etc., etc. And that's the position we take in the Australian Christian colleges across Australia. But there's a second approach, which I call the eclectic approach, where parents might buy textbooks and lean toward their particular philosophies. It's like they cobble together that which they think is appropriate to their child. And the third aspect of homeschooling is called unschooling or natural learning, where basically a child's interests directs the education, and conversation is a very important factor in the child's education, and there's no really formal curriculum.
That group of so-called unschoolers is the least likely to follow any curriculum at all. In Brisbane, a large group of unschoolers or natural learners has gathered, including Anne-Marie Bowden and her youngest daughter, who's 15 and has never gone to school.
Unschooling is where you definitely don't follow a school regime.
But everybody here, I imagine, has a type of schooling in common. At least a philosophy?
No. People, I'm sure, have got different philosophies. We choose to be supportive of whatever philosophy you choose, whether you're religious or not, whether you're following a curriculum or part of curriculum or no curriculum. There's not to be any judgment on that.
It's natural learning, though, generally.
Yeah. Look, it's called natural learning because natural learning covers everything.
In 2003, Education Queensland was told 85% of homeschoolers were doing it outside the law. Back then, there were 1,500 children in Queensland who'd been given dispensation to be taught by their parents at home. When the laws changed in 2006, many of the registered children dropped out. Today, there are 942 children registered, and the Queensland Homeschooling Association believes there are now another 10,000 who aren't registered.
the curricula they're using range from highly structured to virtually non-existent. Background Briefing has seen the booklet lessons from a Tennessee-based company called Accelerated Christian Education. For most subjects, they're similar to the lessons you might see in any school classroom. The main difference is that they're peppered with biblical references. This is the text that Angie on the Sunshine Coast is using to teach her son Ashton.
In row 3, circle the house that might be in a faraway country if it's very hot.
Here.
That's right. Okay, row 4. Circle the book the missionary takes to the people to talk to the people about God. Good boy. Excellent work. Now, what did your instructions say to do?
Stopping to be
seen. Okay. Good boy, Ashton.
Ashton is under 6 and doesn't need to be registered yet. He's just started the kindergarten program, but can sound out letters and count to 100. Angie intends to use accelerated Christian education right through to the end of high school for Ashton.
So this was just social studies. So social studies covers all of the things like all the helpers in a community, policemen, fire brigade, what they might do, mechanics. This particular piece, because it's an American-based one, it actually talked about the American government, but then I was able to talk about our Prime Minister and so forth.
Also at Angie's house is Lizette Hyde, who's taught her 2 children, Joel and Gabby, with accelerated Christian education. Joel has just finished Year 12 and last year took the US Scholastic Aptitude Test, the SAT. Because he's been schooled outside the traditional Australian system, Joel can't do the end of high school tests that would give him a university entrance score. He has to do something else that an Australian university will accept. In this case, it's the SAT. Joel's mother, Lizette Hyde.
Joel went to the Australian Christian College in Caboolture to sit his SAT.
So, Joel, you've gone all the way through Year 12,
yep.
Homeschooling.
Yes. Yeah, I did all the way to Year 12. I did that, started in Grade 5. Had some thoughts of going back to school, but with the way we're going with homeschooling, found it really good. So we didn't turn back to go to school. Completed all the way through to Grade 12 and had thoughts of going to university. Or trade, but I decided to go a trade because wasn't sure what I'd like to do at uni as such right now.
You got enough to do a university course, but you chose a trade.
Yeah, chose a trade. I had the marks that I sort of wanted to go do the courses I wanted to do, but...
What did you want to do?
I was looking at doing either teaching or in heading down the lines for sports therapy, but, sort of...
He was unsure.
Just unsure what I really wanted to do. But I'd enjoy diesel fitting, so decided to go that way.
Joel's family are Christian fundamentalists, and they make up the largest group of homeschoolers. Joel's mother, Lizette.
If you even look at our laws in society, they are based, basically, if you look back at the biblical foundations of the Ten Commandments, so we're still going back to those. So you'll have a lot of people who say, you know, there's a lot of fanatics to... I mean, they're probably up there's fanatics in all sorts of areas. I sort of look at it and think that if you have that foundation and it's based on the scriptures, and then the kids grow up and they make their own decisions.
Lizette has registered with the Queensland Home Education Unit.
But I've never had anyone come and see me. So, but they were most welcome to. Yeah, I've always sort of said you're most welcome to come and see where we school, see what we're doing. Yeah, I've always just put it out there. It's nothing to hide.
Do you know many other people, schoolers who are registered?
There's probably me and maybe Sue, I think that's it. I think there's not many of us that have actually gone ahead and done it.
We've got a large number of people who are homeschooling.
There's a huge amount of people who are homeschooling, and I think they are afraid of becoming registered because they're opening themselves up. But I think it's probably, in a way, it would be a good thing because then maybe the education department would understand how many people are actually homeschooling.
One of the big questions about homeschooling is whether the kids do better academically. Most of the homeschooling community is underground, and researchers trying to answer this question have trouble getting them to come forward. Glenda Jackson was homeschooled herself and homeschooled her children and has been researching homeschoolers for her PhD at Monash University.
Has there been any research that shows that they are doing better?
In Australia?
Yeah.
Point blank, no. There certainly are indications that when students have moved into formal education that they have done very well, but across the board, no.
Why not? Why hasn't there been that research?
Well, number one, we can't find the families to do a population sample testing that's, you know, even. And when you interview, when you're doing research with these parents, they can be very suspicious about who you are and why you're doing the research.
What are they scared about?
Scared of not being allowed to continue, of being stopped from doing their homeschooling.
In Queensland, Lizette Hyde says she knows mums who are scared to register.
They're afraid of doing that. And I guess they're afraid of maybe the scrutiny they might come under, whereas I would just encourage them to be confident in what they're doing. They're confident enough to be doing what they're doing, and they're doing a really good job at doing it, so don't be afraid.
In a northern suburb of Brisbane lives Terry Harding, who's the general manager of schools for an organisation called Christian Education Ministries.
Welcome to the Harding Hilton.
G'day.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my wife, Diane.
The schools he manages are called Australian Christian Academies. They're all associated with a company called Southern Cross Educational Enterprises Limited, which sells the American Accelerated Christian Education curricula adapted for Australia and the South Pacific. Terry Harding and his wife Diane began homeschooling their five children in the 1980s.
When we first started, Ian, it was quite rare that anyone that we spoke to knew someone else for homeschooling. But if you talk to people in the street nowadays, they probably will know someone who is homeschooling or doing distance education.
The Australian Christian Academies offer accelerated Christian education for both non-government distance education and homeschooling in Queensland, New South Wales and Western Australia. In homeschooling, the responsibility for the curriculum and teaching lies solely with the parents. In distance education, the child's enrolled, in this case with an Australian Christian Academy, and the parents are technically supervisors. Homeschooling parents have recently been jumping over to non-government distance education, where they don't have to be registered. Unlike traditional government distance education, the non-government type has hardly any restrictions. In fact, it doesn't seem to have much to do at all with what most people think of as distance education. Terry Harding.
The new phenomenon of non-government distance education is open to anyone who chooses, and so no restrictions on enrolment.
How distant would you have to be?
In the old days, the idea of distance education was about long distances between a school or a correspondence school in a capital city and children in remote locations. However, in the modern era, modern distance education, the child can be living 1 kilometre away from the local bus stop. My research says that the majority of children doing distance education are living in what's called the metropolitan or provincial areas of Australia.
Around the country, there are now 13 private schools with 5,000 children doing this non-government distance education. Terry Harding again.
Certainly, the research I've done in comparing students doing distance education and traditional normal schooling shows that they're not disadvantaged academically at all.
Is there any evidence to show that they do better with homeschooling?
Look, the research is a bit scant on the ground at the moment.
Speak to most homeschoolers and they'll tell you their kids are streets ahead of children in state schools. There are plenty of stories about children going on to do well in university and business. I put that to Rob Riche from Stanford University, a sociologist with an interest in the booming homeschooling phenomenon in the US.
If I were to hear an American parent say what you just described, an Australian homeschooling parent saying, look at how our kids are doing, they're going to college, they're doing really well, you know, or at least compared to your regular state school or regular public school, my answer would be to them, you know, great skepticism. Not that I think homeschools are places of bad academic performance, but the studies that have been carried out are of really poor quality.
Last year, a study by a group of Canadian researchers tried to compare the academic performance of homeschoolers with kids from public schools. The results were published in the Canadian Journal of Behavioural Science. The group studied 74 children, half from homeschools and half from public schools. Their results showed that children doing a structured homeschooling curriculum did best, that the public school students came second, and that unstructured unschoolers performed worst academically. This study's been hailed by homeschoolers as proof that homeschooling is the best option, but critics say the sample was small, didn't compare all homeschoolers with all the public school students, and it was a voluntary sample. Rob Riche says all homeschooling studies he's seen rely on volunteers and have to be taken with a grain of salt.
They are a self-selected group of homeschool students whose parents permit them to be administered tests that students at public schools take. But since it's completely voluntary, parents whose children, you know, might not perform so well or who are against having their kids take tests in the first place aren't included in the sample. And so the studies that exist have very biased samples and equally as often are just a kind of collection of glorified anecdotes.
It should be said that in the Canadian study, the researchers used volunteers from homeschools and public schools to try to overcome that self-selection bias. It was the unschoolers who did worst in that study. Unschooling is known more broadly as natural learning, and by definition, it's unstructured.
It's just the powder and water. Important.
Here in the Brisbane suburb of Rocklea, a large number of unschoolers are having one of their regular get-togethers. There are 60 families in this group and it's just one of several in Brisbane. Today they've brought along someone to show the families how to make mosaic pots and plates, but most of the kids are playing with water pistols and having sword fights. Katrina Graham is explaining why she took one of her children out of school.
She's actually really feisty, always has been really independent-minded. And what we found is in second grade, we were getting called in, like, Sheena's a bit of a problem. Like, but she's only six, you know, she's only seven. How much of a problem could she be? And it wasn't a huge problem, but she was starting to think of herself as a problem, that she was a problem kid. And that, oh, sorry, darling.
As often happens with sword fights, this one ended in tears. Nearby is Amanda, who has five children. All were homeschooled. The eldest has just left university and the youngest is seven. Amanda was a primary school teacher and began homeschooling, she said, because she couldn't bear to be separated from her daughter.
Didn't feel she was ready to leave the nest yet. She was too little, so separation anxiety for me, if you like. As we went on then, I homeschooled because I actually think it's a better place than to be. I work in a school now as a chaplain, and a lot of the work I do is with kids who have separation anxiety.
Amanda's now been homeschooling her children for more than a decade and she appears exhausted.
Burnout. I've just come through. I think I'm through it now. A pretty solid case of burnout, realising having got the older two through, I've got to do it all again for the next one and the next one and the next one. But it changes for each child and that's okay. So, yeah.
So your oldest is how old? And your youngest is?
Seven.
So
yeah, it's a road there still, but her road will be different to the other kids' roads, and she's got big sisters there too. So it's just realising that it will be different for each child, not to do the same thing every time, and her interests are different.
At this gathering, few of the parents are registered. This is a group that isn't big on structured education, but even so, those parents who are registered say they've found it easy to prove to the education department that their children are still getting a high standard of education. Anne-Marie Bowden has homeschooled her children in South Australia and Queensland.
In order to be registered, you have to put in a plan and it would have to be seen to cover some outcomes. Whereas I'm registered and I don't teach to outcomes, you can manage to cover outcomes very easily in whatever you do. It's not hard. It's just the outcomes are bizarre. Well, they're just so white. No, I'd say not bizarre. They're just so widely angled, you could get lots of things to cover it.
So the way they're worded, they're very general.
They're very generalised and you can make anything cover it.
Another mother, Cindy, is single and has a son who's just turned five. she's decided that she won't register with the education department when her son turns 6.
I felt that he could flourish more as a person outside the school system. And I liked the concept of him being able to develop his own interests as they arose.
And there was something about schools that didn't appeal to you, obviously.
The conformity. I didn't have a problem at school. I can't say that I particularly liked it. I did well. I'm now doing my second degree. But I want my son to be able to grow in his own time, in his own way.
Are you going to register?
I'm not planning on it because of the work involved. And I'm not very organised and disciplined in that sense. So that would be a big thing for me to undertake.
The public face of homeschooling is the Christian family in a kitchen classroom. There's also a growing Muslim homeschooling community too. The Tasmanian Home Education Advisory Council recently asked its 600 registered parents why they decided to homeschool in the first place. Only 17% said the main reason was religious. Nearly half listed philosophical reasons. 27% weren't happy with the local school, and 7% had children with special needs. Education Queensland did a similar voluntary survey in 2002 and found 20% of parents listed religion as the main reason for homeschooling, and 21% said it was because they weren't happy with the local school. In the US, sociologist Rob Riche says as well as these reasons, there's often a deep distrust of authority amongst homeschoolers.
There's no doubt that a deep disappointment in the performance of, you know, your local school or state school in certain circumstances is what partly motivating people to homeschool. But I think fundamentally, at least in the U.S., that's not the deeply rooted motivation. I know plenty of homeschoolers who would still homeschool even if they had an exceptional public school right next door to them. They're simply opposed in principle to state authority over their children, which they, you know, extend not only to a school environment, but even to state hospitals or, you know, regulations of other sorts.
In Australia too, what seems to unite many of the unschoolers and the religious fundamentalists is a distrust of the government. That may be also why most don't register with the government. Homeschooling researcher Glenda Jackson.
The reason parents are not joining, and there isn't any stated research, it's just known amongst the community, the home educating community, and that is this sense of distrust. This general sense of the government doesn't tell us what we need to know. They don't provide that too much of that kind of information or support. It's like they don't want us to exist. And there's this element of, if we tell them, will they try and control our curriculum when what we're doing is working very well? Thank you very much.
In Victoria is Frank Marrett, a former homeschooler who's started a business writing and selling textbooks to the growing homeschool market. He says that many homeschooling parents are pulling the pin this year on the registration system because of what they see as increasing government interference. He's speaking via Skype from his home in Werribee.
The homeschoolers this year that have been registered, the complaints that we've been getting is that the families can't cope with the paperwork. It's all ticker box and, you know, have you taught this, have you taught that. Parents is having to spend up to 47 pages per student per year on what they're doing. They're having to write out school reports every term, send in original copies of the work, and the parents are spending more time on paperwork and teaching the children, and it's affecting their homeschooling. So they're the sort of reasons that you see that they're not registering, because of interference with the homeschool.
If you do pull your children out of school, you still need to have a good reason. Children between 6 and 16 are, by law, supposed to go to school, unless you can prove you can give them a high-quality education yourself and register as a homeschooler. The acting manager of the Queensland Home Education Unit is Hannah Warsaw.
If people are doing the right thing, there's no reason for them not to register. We're a pretty broad church in terms of our attitudes to education. You know, we've got everybody from unschooling to Montessori to Steiner to Christian fundamentalist programs purchased in the USA to you name it. And those people are all registered.
But many people don't like registering. The president of the Home Education Association is Guy Tebbutt.
Some people don't like the registration process, and we do hear of people that are unregistered as well.
In Queensland, at least, the estimates, you know, range up to 11,000 homeschoolers, but there's only 900 registered. I suspect there are a lot more unregistered homeschoolers around the country than there are registered.
Well, it's certainly a possibility, Ian, and that's definitely something that I cannot get figures on.
Guy Tebbutt is reluctant to say how many homeschooling groups and individuals around the country are members of the Home Education Association.
And you can't tell me exactly how many members?
Oh, no, I'm not sure for privacy reasons. I'm not sure if I should.
But he does believe 2 to 3% of all school-aged children in Australia are being homeschooled. That's between about 55,000 and 85,000 children. If those numbers are right, then the illegal homeschoolers outnumber the registered ones by a factor of 4 or 5. As we heard earlier, in a landmark case late last year, the president of the Queensland Homeschooling Association, Bob Osmak, was prosecuted for homeschooling his 13-year-old daughter without registering. He was charged under the Education General Provisions Act that says parents have to enrol children of compulsory school age in a school or have a good reason why not. He was found guilty. No conviction was recorded, and he was fined $300 and ordered to pay expenses of $200. Bob Osmak lives on a back road near Caboolture on the Sunshine Coast.
No, it's pretty straightforward, Doc, yeah.
The Queensland Education Department had learnt that he wasn't registered and made a complaint to the police, who came knocking. The case was heard in the Caboolture Magistrates Court in October.
If I can allow myself a bit of a laugh here, they were trying to silence me by choosing to prosecute me, and I had to go to court to defend myself.
What were they accusing you of?
Well, they were saying that I'm not capable of educating my ninth daughter at home, or ninth child, when I have educated very successfully my other eight children. They never prosecuted me for educating my other eight children at home, but they chose to prosecute me for educating my ninth one at home. As I said, in an attempt to stop me from speaking to the media and others that will listen to me about the problems of schooling in Queensland.
But do you really think that they were trying to silence you?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, they achieved nothing by doing that. My daughter's now 15 anyway. She could have, you know, left school. It was an attempt to intimidate me.
Bob Osmak says he chose not to register as a homeschooler on principle.
I didn't register with the home education unit. I refused to do that because I see education as something of a parental right. We as parents know and love our children best. It's not some cold, faceless bureaucrat in the education department that knows what's best for your child. You know, you the parent, we the parents know what is best for our children. We know our children better than anyone, and so we should be the one to choose what kind of education ought to be given to our child. And on that principle, I refused to register my daughter with a homeschooling unit.
The Queensland Education Department wouldn't comment directly on Bob Osmak's case, but it did issue a statement to Background Briefing that read,
"If the department becomes aware a parent has failed to enrol their child at school or register them for homeschooling, it will engage with other government agencies, including Department of Child Safety and Queensland Police, to ensure the child's welfare and education are not at risk."
The Queensland Home Education Unit's in charge of the registration process. The unit's acting manager is Hannah Warsaw. She says the law is clear if parents don't register.
The reality is they're breaking the law. Standards exist for a reason, and they're about the kids, not about the parents and their ideas about what they should do. That's why we live in a civil society that provides that capacity to represent children and to monitor their educational needs. And if people aren't registered, I'd say, well, you're breaking the law. And if you're doing the right thing by your kids, you've got nothing to hide.
We've put an extended interview with Hannah Warsaw on the Background Briefing website, explaining what the Home Education Unit does. That prosecution a few months ago of Bob Osmak is the first one in Australia under the new homeschooling registration laws. In the US, where the homeschooling movement is most prominent, authorities have been known to crack down hard. In a case similar to Bob Osmak's, a New York couple was arrested for homeschooling their children for 7 years without registering them. School authorities acted after a tip-off. This report ran on the American CBS network.
Dr. Richard Hoffman, superintendent of Fonda Fultonville Schools, didn't become aware until mid-December that four children ages 8 to 14 who lived in the town of Glen for 7 years were never registered with the district, but were being homeschooled by their parents, Richard and Margie Cressy. The Cressys were arrested on charges of child endangerment. Police began investigating after an anonymous tip. Under state law, a superintendent must approve a homeschooling curriculum, but according to investigators, the Cressys never submitted one in the 7 years they lived in the district.
So who should be held accountable here?
Well, the parents. It's not the school's fault. The schools are doing the right thing, trying to get the parents to file the proper paperwork, which they have now.
And he has approved it. Marcy Natal, CBS 6 News, Fonda.
In Australia, the homeschooling laws are fairly similar from state to state, but they vary a lot in the US. California won't let any child be homeschooled unless it's by a qualified teacher. On the other hand, a court in Tennessee granted a German couple political asylum in the US after they were fined in Germany for teaching their own children at home. The Ramica parents are evangelical Christians, and they took their three children out of a German school because they said the textbooks contained ideas that conflicted with the family's values. An organisation called the Homeschool Legal Defence Association invited the family to the US, where a judge accepted that they came from what's called a particular social group that was being persecuted. The US government is still appealing the case, worried about a potential flood of homeschoolers seeking asylum. There have been cases in Sweden and the Netherlands where authorities have removed children from homeschooling families for various reasons. It all stems from a long-running tension between the state and the individual over who's responsible for a child's education. Section 4B of the New South Wales Education Act, for instance, says the education of a child is primarily the responsibility of the child's parents. Section 4C says it is the duty of the state to ensure that every child receives an education of the highest quality. Rob Reich from Stanford University believes that the state has a responsibility for two reasons.
The first reason is that the state has a responsibility to protect the independent interests of the child. Second reason is that the state has an interest in developing children into good citizens. And part of good citizenship in a democracy is getting to know that there are other people who share your country, who believe very, very different things than you believe, but are nevertheless your equal as a citizen. And unless you get to engage with and experience people from a variety of different backgrounds, well, your capacity for good citizenship is somewhat limited, it seems to me. So that's another reason why the state should be able to regulate the educational environments in which children grow up. Not the home environments, the school environments.
Rob Reich. Terry Harding from Christian Education Ministries in Australia says government responsibility has crossed a line and become political interference.
Yeah, well, you've just raised the age-old philosophical question. Is education there for the development of the child or for the government's political agenda? And this has been a raging question over 150 years, but particularly since the 1990s with economic managerialism hitting the education sector and people saying Australia needs to be more economically productive, thus our schools will be a channel for creating that. Look, I don't think everyone would homeschool because it requires a commitment that's quite outstanding. You have to have a parent prepared to work unpaid for 20 years. So it's not for everybody. But I do believe anybody could do it.
Earlier we heard from Amanda, who said she was burnt out after homeschooling five children. She gave up her job as a primary school teacher, but is now back at school, working part-time as a chaplain.
Now I only work 5 hours a week. For 20 years I haven't, and we have a single-income family for many years. So we've lived fairly frugally.
It must be hard for you then, being at a school, a structured school, and seeing these kids and saying, could do better.
I just smile sweetly and give them a hug, pat them on the back and say it's okay. Everyone has a right to their choices. I make mine for my family. Different families have different choices for their family. So I wouldn't judge, because it's a hard road.
It can be a hard road for children too. The ABC's online religious and ethics editor, Scott Stevens, was homeschooled in North America in the 70s and 80s. For many years since, he's been living in Australia. His father was deeply religious and also had PhDs in engineering and cardiovascular medicine. His mother had a PhD in anthropology, so he did get a wide and thorough home education. It was the way he was taught that left some scars. Scott Stevens.
I struggled with an almost sort of pathological stuttering problem for a long period of time. Tremendous lack of confidence, because the inability to understand something was bound up with all sorts of other issues.
You have children now?
I do.
Would you consider homeschooling for them?
Not for a moment. And for two reasons. I mean, I share many concerns that other parents have about the negative influences that are always going to be present in public schooling environments. And yet at the same time, you know, just watching, especially my oldest son and oldest daughter, watching them come through a rural, not particularly well-off public school, watching this extraordinary network of friendships and relationships grow up. Okay, the academic environment might not have been the best. The resources that are there at the school's disposal certainly haven't been the best. But there is a kind of richness and depth to their learning experience that I can only look at with a deep, deep sense of envy, a kind of longing that my own intellectual formation might have been, made intelligible by this other social network.
Scott Stevens' experience of homeschooling couldn't be described as typical, but neither could any one homeschooling experience. One of the things that people talk about most is the type of social contact or socialisation available for children who don't go to school. It's a big part of the debate here and in the US. Stanford University sociologist Rob Risch.
I guess the thing I worry about at a more abstract level is that homeschools are the environment in which parents have the most control over the education of their children. It's sole control over the education of their children, which means they control, at least in principle, not only what their kids learn, but when they learn, with whom they learn, how they learn. And you can really, as a parent, achieve a kind of total control over the educational environment of your child, which, if you're an exceptionally able parent, can turn out really well. But if you're not exceptionally able, your kid is subject to your own, parental discretion, and never the various talents or experiences, not merely of lots of different teachers in a regular school environment, but of lots of different peers. And that's a valuable lesson in itself, that homeschool children can escape if their parents aren't so motivated.
Terry Harding from Christian Education Ministries believes homeschooled children actually have a better social life than children at public schools. And it's the state education that restricts a child's socialisation, and that homeschooling gives what he calls a real-world education.
Indeed, I'm very excited to be able to provide parents with an alternative that frees them up, frees their children up to an education, a real-world education experience, in the family context and in the wider community, rather than being legally restricted to 13 years of compulsory schooling.
This socialisation question is a big point of difference in the debate over homeschooling. Scott Stevens' experience was more than two decades ago. While he admits some things have changed, he worries about the restricted social experiences of today's homeschoolers.
Homeschooling today really is far more like distance education than it is the old-fashioned kind of homeschooling movement of the late 60s and early 70s. What this does enable, though, paradoxically, is a higher level of ghettoization and withdrawal from civic institutions than was possible before. And, you know, without trying to sort of cast aspersions on the motivations of people, which I'm sure are very, very good and child-centered, really a real longing for the best possible outcome for their children. Individual life reaches a kind of potential and a kind of fullness only within one's wider civic community.
It's hard to argue the pros and cons of that socialisation question because there hasn't been any quality research on it, in the same way that there's no hard evidence to show Australian homeschoolers get a better education than kids at a state school. What research there is on homeschooling in Australia has been done mostly by homeschooling advocates. Researcher Glenda Jackson was a homeschooler herself, and she says while there are a number of new research projects, she acknowledges that they're being done by people who are also involved in homeschooling.
There's now 4 doctoral theses, and I know of several students who are working on stuff at the moment because they've contacted me.
But the people who do the research or the theses tend to be interested in the subject, obviously, aren't they? But, I mean, is there a sense that people are approaching the research from a particular point of view with a particular agenda?
Probably. I mean, I did it because I'd already been through it and I wanted to do research and I felt that home education wasn't getting the attention that it needed. And when I got into it, that just grew. One of the students is a homeschooling student who's now interested in it. Others are mothers wanting to continue. So, yes, there is that element.
Increasingly, parents are choosing to take their kids out of school to teach them themselves. They're not making this decision lightly. Like everybody, they want to do the right thing for their children. For parents to make the best possible decision and for governments to make good policy, everyone needs good evidence. When it comes to homeschooling, good evidence can only come from quality research. And Rob Riche from Stanford University says that's not being done.
As a social scientist myself, one of the things which I feel really strongly about is the need for more and better research on homeschools, where we can get a sense of how the average homeschool child actually performs. In the U.S., we're left with anecdotes about kids who win spelling bees, kids who go to Stanford, kids who go to Harvard, and homeschools are said to be extraordinary. And then on the other side, we have anecdotes about homeschools where parents abuse and even physically abuse their children, but are homeschooling precisely to avoid having anyone else learn about that. And children are literally neglected, never taught anything. So you can dredge up whatever anecdote you want to make a case for something, but of course anecdotes don't make for good research. And what I'm, I suppose, at some level most interested in doing is just calling attention to the awful state of research on the academic performance of homeschools.
The homeschooling movement is growing fast around the world, says Rob Riche, and governments will continue to struggle with it unless and until they have the quality research that can help them make better policies.
Ian Townsend reporting for Background Briefing. The coordinating producer was Lila Schooner, research by Anna Whitfeld, technical production by Michelle Goldsworthy, and the executive producer is Chris Bullock.